Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Today I'm here with Russell, and Russell has got some interesting things to share with us about dyslexia, about business, maybe a bit about AI. And welcome, Russell. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's go back a little bit. I always ask business owners this question. How did you get started in your business?
This is the last thing I was supposed to be doing with my life. I was supposed to be a bureaucrat for the New York State government. With this one, this is probably going to be one of the weirdest stories you heard of, because it all started back in the late 90s when I was finishing up college. I wanted to know how laws were created, not some class. I wanted to know. So I did something absolutely absurd. I went and I applied for the New York State Assembly internship program, and I was accepted. People asked, what's absurd about that? I showed up and I said, here's my neuropsychological evaluation. I have a first grade reading and writing level, which means I can't do the internship. Because how it worked back then is you'd have the elected official, you'd have the chief of staff, who's probably an intern a year or two before, and then you had the intern. And that's it. I had to answer phones, write down messages, copy things, write things up. So the director freaked, went up to the speaker's office. They said, you're not getting rid of this kid because he's dyslexic. So they got a committee together of their senior people, and they decided to pull me out of the legislative office building into the Capitol to the majority leader's program and council's office that ran the assembly day to day. When I walked in, I could see immediately why they did it. Three administrative assistants that could help with my horrific writing. For the academic portion, I gave a really long presentation for hours instead of the paper, very common accommodation. So then they wrote up and they said, we recommend 15 credits of A minus. Goes back to the political science department of the State University of New York Center at Buffalo. They look at these massive accommodations. They don't like them. So they flunk me. Yeah. Instead of the A minus that was recommended, they flunked me. I got sick and tired of the discrimination. I asked my professors where I could go to grad school to force myself to read and write so I could teach other dyslexics. They said, if you like politics, go to law school. So I did. I audited a couple of classes. My second day of contracts, the professor called on me. Instead of responding as a student, I responded as his equal for 15 minutes. I couldn't beat him. He couldn't beat me. Within a month, I learned to read. Within a couple of years, I learned to write. Then I went back to the New York State Senate and I said, I want you to fund my dyslexia research program, which they don't do. So after years working with the State Education Department and the SUNY Research Foundation, I got funded for a multi-year study. We went into the Avery Park Central School District right outside of Albany, New York. So our state capital, we took the most motivated, the most intelligent dyslexic high school juniors and seniors. They were writing at the middle school level. One class period a day for the school year, we increased their writing to the average range of entering graduate students. They all went to university, all graduated GPAs of 2.5 to 3.6, cost New York State less than $900 a student. We were literally 3x as successful as the best dyslexic college at the time for less than 1% of the cost. And that's how I got started.
Oh, very good. Very good. And how has that gone on from then?
That's where the AI comes in. Because when I went and presented this in New York City, I thought I did something amazing. I thought I was done. I was wrong. The professors came to me and said, you had two students who went from the middle school level to average writing of the 70th percentile approximately of entering grad students. We don't care. We want the craft of research. I was like, the craft of what? The craft of research, was published in 1995 by the University of Chicago to help their PhD students write their doctoral dissertations. It's sold over 1 million copies since then. I'm like, you want me to teach high school kids to do essentially doctoral level work before they come into college? They said yes. I said, okay. So I looked at it. What you're looking at is context, getting everybody on the same page, coming up with a unique problem statement that you can actually do, and then an innovative solution. Now, I want you to think about artificial intelligence. You're hearing words like, make sure they have the correct context. Make sure you have, especially if you're going to use agents, what's the intent? So that, like, for example, there was one company, their AI appeared to be brilliant. They fired almost all their customer service people. AI did a couple of million tickets, but it solved it for speed and not for customers. So if you had a customer who said, I want a little something extra, well, they've been with us for years and you're not supposed to do it and it's not going to cost you much, the human's going to give that to them every time just to keep them happy. The AI didn't. So they had to go back and rehire everybody. So you have to put the intent, all this advanced stuff, or it's going to be all screwed up. So when I, the way that I teach it is I teach my students how to go through first, before I even get into the context, I'm sorry, before I get into AI, I show them how to do advanced context. Okay. And then that's the only time we start doing anything with artificial intelligence.
I think one of the things that's taught me so well, and I've been doing it for 3 years, mm-hmm. one of the mm-hmm. things that it taught me so well is about communication. Mm-hmm. And, you know, initially you start playing with ChatGPT as it was back then, and you start communicating and it gives you rubbish out. Yeah, and you give it more and it gives you more rubbish out. And if you're analytic enough and can accept that you're not perfect, then you can start looking at yourself and say, actually, what should I be saying? Yeah, and when you start mm-hmm. being very clear and concise, context, all these things, suddenly you start getting better at. And it taught me that I was actually being less clear with my staff, with my customers, with my family than I thought I was. Because we talk from our own position, and people will just say, yeah. And half the time they don't actually get it because I wasn't being clear enough. So that's really helped me in my own clarity with everybody else.
Yeah. And the just my background with AI, when the ChatGPT came out with their $200 a month pro plan, I bought it that day. I got rid of it in December and I moved over primarily to Opus 4.6 now, just because it just does writing much better. But when you're talking about clarity, that's one thing I wanted to share with your audience. So when I'm dealing with dyslexics for advanced context, a lot of times people have trouble trying to say exactly what's unique about them in their head as a business. If you're talking Fortune 500, they're in it primarily just for the money. We, as small businesses to medium-sized businesses, we're doing this for a reason. Yes, we have to make a paycheck. We have to make a living. But we want our customers to succeed because there's something about the business we chose that is very important to us. And that is how we need to be able to communicate that. So I just want to give your listeners a quick process that I use to help dyslexics that works perfectly with this. All right, so I use universal themes, and this is going to seem completely off base for a moment, but then you'll see exactly how why I teach you this way. I want you to think about a movie that you saw that you think is one of the best of all times, that everybody has seen, that you know really well. What's the name of that movie? The Green Mile, okay? Now, I'm going to ask you a really tough question. I want you to tell me one word, one universal theme that best represents The Green Mile.
Acceptance.
Acceptance. Now, if you look back when The Green Mile came out and you looked at the top publications, have you noticed that they tend to tell you this happened and this happened, and they pretty much ruin the movie when you read the review?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Okay, here's how you write it properly. You would take the universal theme of acceptance, pick the main actors you want to discuss, ask how do they do with the universal theme of acceptance? How did the director do? How did the screenwriter do? You put all that together. Now you have a proper review. People can decide to watch it or not based on that review. They don't want to watch it. You haven't ruined it for them. You've enhanced their experience because now they know what to look for. Okay? Here's the problem. When you're using the universal theme of acceptance, it's broad. It's like you can only paint with a very broad brush, not something laser focused, which what we need for our modern day marketing. So how do we fix that? Now I'm going to traumatize some people by going back to high school. All right, I want you to think of your standard Shakespearean play. You had a hero. The hero would want to do something based on one or more universal themes. Then there'd be an optimum villain, a person, a concept, or some combination thereto, trying to prevent the hero from accomplishing their goal. They would have a conflict starting in Act One, escalate in Act Two, resolve in Act Three. Sound familiar? Here's how we simplify that. And the reason why I'm using Shakespeare is because for communicating in English, the guy's the man for this. He's the top guy around. So what we're going to do is we're going to simplify that and make it so we can actually use a universal theme to help focus our messaging. So we'll start off with, let's start off with a business. Give me a name of one of your customers that you're going to make up to protect their privacy, and tell me what it is with their business that they want to do.
John is totally overstressed. He works 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. He just needs peace. He needs to be able to step away from the business. What is his business? He's a social worker. He has a bunch of social workers.
Okay. So what is it specifically that, what is the essence of the business? Why is John in the social working business?
Because he sees there's a need to help people, and he's re really trying to help them get to a better place.
Okay. So you're now going to take that and you're going to write multiple paragraphs on it. And you can use AI to help you with that. Okay. Then what you're going to do is you're going to go through each sentence and pick out the most important word for each sentence.
Okay.
You're going to list all the most important words together, then ask AI based on what you want to do, whatever everything you wrote, what are the top 10? And you're going to tell them to give you those words with custom definitions. Then you, as the human, have to pick out the one that you think is the best. Okay, that's going to be your base universal thing. But just like the one that you use for your movie review, it's still very broad. How do we get this more specific? Then you tell the AI you want 100 synonyms with custom definitions. And it goes as and does that. Then you say, based on what the hero want, what we want to do, pick the top 10. Then you pick the one with the definition that best matches what's in your head. If you don't like it, do another 100, or do another 100 after that. Who cares? The AI is doing the grunt work. This is all done in a matter of minutes. Then you're never going to find it perfect. But when you find a word that really does match pretty much what's in your head, that's going to be your universal theme. Now we can laser focus. So now every time you want to do anything, that's the word and that's the definition you're going to use to try to tell what your branding message is, what you're trying to communicate. If you're trying to do a LinkedIn article, that's what you're going to focus through. Let me just give you an example with my business. So when I was looking to figure out the title for my book, what I did is I went to the AI. I went to all the reviews. I have 185 positive reviews on Podmatch. And I just said, just here's everything. What I do is I gave it all the competition from the books in the field. And what it said was, what I do is completely unique. I do writing to read. Everything else is just reading, and there's very little on writing. So when I tried to come up with what is the best type of word for what I'm doing, it came out with the title, If You Write, You Can Read. If You Can Write, You Can Read. And that title just really gravitated, and people are like, oh, that is completely unique. So it's the AI allowed me to take everything that I dumped in and come up with that idea. When I was looking for things for the course I created, I'm putting up $147 a month course on school, the learning platform. What kept coming back was, number one, this is 90% moms. So I put moms in the title. And what kept coming back shocked me. It was that the parents were, there's nothing, you have to tell the parents there's nothing wrong with them, and you can get the solution in 10 to 15 minutes a day. Those numbers kept coming back. So the main things that kept coming back was they're not the problem. 10 to 15 minutes a day, moms tried everything. Those were the words that kept coming back. And then I used the AI going back and forth between the three main models until I finally came up with a title that just worked. And I went out and I tested it on a bunch of my clients. And they said, yeah, that's exactly what I would want to hear if I was buying this.
Cool. Amazing. So where does it come from? Where do you go from here? You've got a book you're releasing. You've got a course you're releasing. Busy man.
Oh, it's a starting. This is what I did is I cheated because back when we were kids, what you would do is you'd go to a city when you had a new book, you'd get on a radio show and you'd sign at a local bookstore. The bookstores have disappeared. So what we do is we go on podcast instead. I have 185 reviews on Podmatch and I have 150 shows that want me back to discuss the book. I've already set up these things. So now once the book is launched, we're going through famous last words from any author, going through the last edits. Okay. I'm going to go back on those 150 plus shows. All right. The key thing is when you're looking at things from a book, you want to get 50 fast reviews and then slowly to 150. Then after that, it doesn't matter. Then I also made a deal with another podcaster who's done two TEDx speeches. She's going to get me on a TEDx stage. And then after that, I can come back to the top podcasts in my area. All right. Just so everybody knows what my numbers are. This is for Podmatch. This is my 215th podcast. I have 185 reviews, 87 more scheduled, 27,200 listeners with 2.9 million social media impressions. So once I can say I'm a little niche best-selling author, yeah, and TEDx speaker, okay, you put that in the subject line, I can apply to the big podcasts. They have 5,000-10,000 people in my niche. Mm-hmm. So I do 6 or 7 of those, and it's more audience than I've done with the other 215 podcasts on Podmatch. And that allows me, and then I can move up to the really mainstream ones. Yeah, I'll probably be spending 500, 1,000 bucks a time to go on those podcasts, but it's worth it.
Yeah. So we'll just touch quickly on dyslexia and business owners, because I think there's quite a lot more people, even from the mildly dyslexic all the way up through, that gravitate towards business. Have you found that?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you an example. Did you ever hear of this little show called Shark Tank?
Yeah.
There are 6 sharks. Guess how many are dyslexic? 3 of them.
3 of them, yeah.
Barbara, Mr. Wonderful, and Damien.
Yeah.
But dyslexics make up less than 10% of the population. Half the sharks are dyslexic.
Yeah.
It's really unfair when you're dyslexic, because once we hit grad school, we own the place. So just so you know what dyslexia is, this is the top book in my field called Overcoming Dyslexia by Dr. Sally Shaywitz from Yale. That's dyslexia. See how the back part of the typical brain has this massive neuroactivity, but the back part of our brain has next to nothing? But the front part of our brain's 2.5 times overactive? That's what I tapped into. It's word analysis followed by articulation.
Okay, cool. All right, I will point everyone towards your book. I'll ask you that afterwards. I'll point everyone towards your book, and I want to see you on TEDx. When your TEDx is coming out, then let me know. Do you know the process to get to that yet?
Yeah, I know the process. As I said, I met another podcast who's done it twice. And in exchange for one of my curriculum, she's going to go through and help me go through the entire process. And I've already edited the speech 67 times.
Yeah, that's the joy of these things. Eh? Yeah. Thank you very much for joining me, Russell. And I very, very much look forward to reading the book when it's out. And understanding a bit more.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.